McSharry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.
Now it is time for us to get the news as always. Saturday would not be Saturday without a hit of news from Ellen Coyne, news correspondent at Independent News. And she is going to keep us up to date right now. Ellen, how are you?
I'm very good. Happy Pride weekend to everyone. I know it's a weird one because everyone's like online and we can't just gather in the pub. But hopefully everyone's able to celebrate in their own way and get through this weird weather that we're having, which is a bit... finding it distressing trying to figure out how to get dressed.
I've certainly done some prides in weather like this though over the years.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I think I've been going to the Pride March for like 11 or 12 years with friends, and yeah, there's been a lot of bleak sweating in your rain jacket prides.
Yeah.
But you know, it never takes away from the joy.
Absolutely. You kind of have the cloak of pride kind of warming you, like a drunk jacket.
Yes,
basically.
Exactly. So how are we doing, Ellen? That's obviously, we have to talk about COVID.
Yes, we do. So there was three things that came up this week. Obviously, we know we're going into phase three on Monday, which is a really big deal. And I know that it's going to be the M50 is just going to be jammed with everybody, thankfully able to go and visit their relatives and family and friends for the first time in a very, very long time. But there were three things that kind of came through this week. The first thing was Tony Holohan pointed out that over the last 2 weeks, a third of the cases that have been diagnosed, even though the total number of COVID diagnoses are going down, a third of them were people under the age of 35, which is a cause of concern. And you know, when you're dealing with COVID cases, you're kind of time traveling a little bit, because if you're getting COVID cases over the last 2 weeks, those people picking it up could have happened 2 weeks before. And he was kind of making the point that he's seeing a lot of young people mixing together, like on the street or in the park, in huge crowds that are obviously bigger than a household, very, very closely together and not using masks, as if nothing's happening. And that is a cause for concern, because we know that we're going to have a lot more social freedom from Monday on. So the point would be then, by the time you get to the end of July, are you going to see, unfortunately, a spike in younger people who up until now tended to be less affected? The second thing that came forward, we mentioned last week how London was going to try to make masks compulsory on public transport and saying, why can't they do it here? Basically, they've decided to. So they brought a rule to cabinet last week. And over the next 2 weeks, it is going to become compulsory to have a mask on public transport. So as a general rule, if you're ever leaving the house, it's a good habit to get into. And I guess the consequence of that is if you live in a big city like Dublin and you make the habit of leaving the house with a mask for public transport, it's probably going to increase the chance of you using it in shops where it's not yet compulsory. And the third thing that came up, which the government seems a little bit worried about, is international travel. So we know that over the past 14 days, 7% of new diagnoses of COVID-19 were associated with international travel. And some of that travel can be like really, really important, or maybe it was business related. Like, it's probably not loads of people going off on their jollies. But Tony Holohan was saying that international travel remains a huge risk. And from the start of July, international travel is going to be allowed again, which is a cause for concern. And the government is basically going to draw up what's called a green list. So it'll be a list of countries that you can go to without having to self-isolate for 2 weeks, which I think is basically like a safe travel list, because nobody's going to use their annual leave self-isolating in like a corner of France and not being able to enjoy your holiday. And that's, that list is basically going to change as regularly as every 2 weeks. So countries are all going in different directions at the moment. And if a spike is noticed somewhere, that will be taken off the travel list. And what might be a little bit awks is it looks like the UK at the moment might not be on that travel list.
Yeah.
And I don't think British journalists have picked up on it yet, because they tend to ignore Ireland like all the time. But when they do, I feel like it's not going to go down that well. But based on how things are going over there, I don't think you can really blame the government. And I think that the other thing that the chief medical officer was saying last night is that you should really base your advice and guidance on what the government is saying and not on what the airlines are saying. Because I know that opening newspapers last weekend, you could see all these full page ads. They were like, holidays are open again, why not go to Spain? But obviously those people have a financial interest in getting you on flights again. So it's kind of a scary time, where we're kind of moving from like that optimism that we had last week to a bit of like nervousness again, I think.
Yeah, well, it's also unpredictable, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it's, you know, you can get excited. But even for me, I keep talking about the crèche. It's a big thing in my life. But even for me, the fact that the crèche is reopening on Monday, I kind of can't Like, I'm happy about it, but I'm so aware of the fact that it could all be closed again. And like, you know, everything that we're moving forward with next week could easily, we could move backward if we're not careful. I saw just on the masks, I saw a really good tweet from Blind Boy during the week, and he said something along the lines of he was out and all the people he saw wearing masks were elderly people.
Yeah.
And I just, and he said, you know, at the end of the day, they're trying to protect themselves, but really they're protecting other people by wearing the masks. So like, you know, if elderly people are managing, because they're scared to put masks on and go out in the world, then the rest of us should be able to too. And it's uncomfortable. Like, let's be real. It's uncomfortable. I don't like wearing masks. I have some beautiful ones, but I still don't like wearing them because I wear glasses. And when I'm wearing them, it's hot and my glasses fog up and I have to wear my glasses kind of halfway down my nose. And it's, you know, it's a thing. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to make an elderly person or someone with a hidden condition or, you know, an underlying condition that makes them scared when they leave their house, if I can make them a little bit more comfortable, then I have to suck it up, don't I? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, we all need to just, whatever it is that's making you, if it's that it's uncomfortable, or I think, you know, some people just feel like, it's all blown out of proportion. And even if you just think about it at that very basic level, that you wearing a mask could make an elderly person who you encounter in the shop or on the street, not necessarily on the street, but in a shop inside somewhere, feel more comfortable, would you not just do it?
Yeah, and like a really important point is the masks are not like self-preservation. The masks are social responsibility. They have a greater chance of stopping you spreading the virus to someone else than they do from protecting you for it. So it should actually be the inverse. It should be people under 35, people like our age who are all wearing the masks rather than the people with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good point because sometimes when I see, when I'm on the bus and there's only like one or two other people wearing a mask, if it's a young person, I'm kind of wondering, are they somebody with a pre-existing condition who's super nervous about leaving the house? I know friends who I have who are particularly extra vulnerable because of pre-existing conditions are kind of looking at the people they see in the shop and they're like, well, my life isn't going to go back to normal for like a year if this is the way that people are kind of going back. And I know everyone's very excited to like, I made a restaurant reservation and it was exhilarating. Like, we're all very swept up in our lives getting back to normal. But like the success that we've had so far is like so easily lost. And from the point that we're talking at now, we could literally get to the end of July and be back to the position that we were in March.
And nobody wants that.
No.
Okay, well, let's move on. America isn't doing so well on the old COVID stakes, is it?
No. So Donald Trump has brought forward once again his extraordinary personal thesis for tackling COVID-19, which is if you just stop testing people, your numbers will go down. And like he said this a few times and the poor White House is like, he's joking. It's satire. Like just whatever they can do to try to spin it. But I think I mentioned on the program before, that's basically the same as being like, I don't want to find out I'm pregnant, so I'm just not going to take a pregnancy test.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really follow through. But the problem is, we know that he's kind of been pushing this like, oh, you know, it's a little bit exaggerated and we got to get the economy back up and running again and this is madness. And what happened was a lot of the Republican states, which obviously wanted to support the president, were the first ones to kind of lift restrictions. So places like Texas and Florida were two of the states that kind of like were the quickest to get back up and running. Mm. But unfortunately, over the last week, they've seen a major spike and they've actually had to take the step now of imposing tougher restrictions again, which is quite like telling because they were very reluctant to kind of admit that things had gotten that bad. Like on Friday, there was 8,942 cases in Florida and in Texas, there was 5,996, which is huge. Like in total, there's been 2.5 million people in the US diagnosed with COVID-19 and 127,000 people have lost their lives. And the other point is that the US Center for Disease Control, kind of in line with what Trump is saying, is they suspect that there's actually been 10 times as many infections with COVID-19 than they actually realize. For reasons like we're all really familiar with now, people who carry it and don't show any symptoms. So it seems like different states are now like unraveling at different rates. So you've got the Republican ones which kind of rushed to get things back up and running and now they're experiencing a second spike. And you've states like New York which are criticizing other states for getting things back up and running. People are now traveling within states. So it seems like while we would kind of fingers crossed, be hope that we would be in a position where by the end of the year, we would largely have this under control. It seems like the US is going into a second wave, and you have people like Vice President Mike Pence trying to reassure people, oh, it's not as bad as it was in February or March. But like, when you're starting from such a chaotic low base, that's hardly reassuring for the public.
And then, of course, like Donald Trump as a president has certainly encouraged this line of thinking, which is that, you know, people are lying to us, don't believe fake news, all that. So there's all the conspiracy theorists. And I saw that Gia Gunn from RuPaul's Drag Race during the week did this video where she was saying that it was all made up, basically. And then she had to come out and say, oh, actually, that was really stupid of me. I shouldn't have said that. And then a video went viral of this woman from Florida. I'm going to play you a little clip now talking about 5G and conspiracy and COVID.
6 feet, like I said before, is military protocol. You're trying to get the people to train them. So when the cameras, the 5G comes out, what? They're gonna scan everybody. We gotta get scanned. We gotta get temperatured. The kids have to go to school with masks. Are you insane?
And this culture is just, I mean, a lot of people were laughing at that woman during the week, and I can understand laughing because what she's saying is absolutely wild. But at the same time, she is a result of a culture that is being built by Donald Trump.
Yeah, and like the internet has no borders. And yes, it is nice to think of those people like only existing on the internet or far away. But I've actually been doing pieces on how that American misinformation has spread to a lot of Irish Facebook groups. So maybe parents who innocently fell for anti-vax misinformation a couple of years ago, if you remember, we had a problem with the cervical check vaccine, are now believing that the Irish government is working with Bill Gates or this kind of like nefarious New World Order to either force mandatory vaccines for COVID-19 or like use it to push this nefarious introduction of a cashless society. And I know what people hear what I'm saying and I think like those are crazy conspiracy theorists, like people who live in their basement. They're not. They're like mams living in Kildare who have had contact with their children and grandchildren cut off because they've fallen for these conspiracy theories. And I think that when we spend so much time, like as you said, the instinct is to laugh at those people, you actually forget that it spreads very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And there are people who never watch RTE News and never read the papers because they don't trust the media. So their media literacy isn't great. So when they see something that looks like a polished article from a source in the US that just wants to tell you the truth, it's very easy to fall down those rabbit holes. And the internet is actually built in a way that if you show the slightest bit of interest in a conspiracy theory, it'll think it's what you're interested in and show you more and more and more. So like, yeah, that woman sounds like a caricature of like America, but it's 100% happening in Ireland as well.
Yeah. So I would say have conversations with your family, with your aunts, with your uncles, with your moms, with your grannies, with your friends, because, you know, this doesn't discriminate age wise. But I think it is. It does tend to be older people who get sucked in. Now, let's talk about the UK, because there has been lots of footage of very crowded beaches in the UK as they're experiencing a heat wave and things are not going so well in terms of COVID there either.
Yes, I would tend to be kind of wiping sweat off my brow if I saw that the UK was not on the government's green list for travel based on some of the images that I saw during the week. So basically they, like us, had like a mini heat wave during the week before a storm kicked in, I think last night or the night before. And what happened was 500,000 people gathered on Bournemouth Beach. And the UK is kind of on the same track as us in terms of like trying to open things slowly. So I saw, for example, they have pubs that are reopening again. But because their COVID-19 was worse, appeared to be a little bit worse than ours, while everybody here is kind of talking about going back to the pub and social distancing, I think we've noticed that our friends in the UK, like there's much more division and people are saying it's actually irresponsible to go back to the pub and they don't trust the government to keep things strict enough for long enough. But even Boris Johnson had to come out when he saw these images of like hundreds of thousands of people gathering and basically said that people were taking way too much liberties, that they'd been given a certain amount of freedom to try to slowly reopen the country again. And people had just like taken it to extremes and not really shown enough personal responsibility. There's also been cases of like raves in cities like Manchester, which have resulted in some violence. And I think in some cases, the raves were actually so big that the local police force couldn't disband them because they were conscious of the effect of like moving on that many people from one space at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very different story over there, where the kind of personal social responsibility seems to be lacking a little bit more.
Mm. Before I let you go, we have to talk about government formation, of course.
Yes.
I okay,
would
ladies.
Say, woohoo. But some people are extremely unexcited yes. about the government that's forming today. Basically, months and months and months and months and months on, it seems like we're going to have a government. It's going to be Fianna Fáil in coalition with Fine Gael and the Greens. All three parties backed the programme for government. Basically, like, their members voted for it to go ahead last night by a bigger majority than people thought. I think we were saying last week, like, the Greens seemed really divided by it, but in the end 76% backed it, which is actually 10% more than they need. Other parties would have a majority of like 51%, but the Greens set the bar a bit higher. So today, actually before you come off air, they're going to be gathering in the convention centre because they have to social distance and the Dáil isn't big enough. Micheál Martin is likely going to be voted in as Taoiseach. The government will basically get to work tomorrow, and before the end of the weekend I think they're going to appoint the cabinet as well. And spoiler, it's 100% not going to be gender balanced once again, as every cabinet has been in the history of the state. And the excuse this time is basically you're going to have the competing interests of three different parties. So you're going to have some very disappointed men who maybe thought they would have been ministers who can't be, because you have to allow for Green ministers and Fine Gael ministers and Fianna Fáil ministers, and the women aren't available. But it's just a sign that once again the parties barely scraped the gender quota for the general election. They didn't run enough women, they didn't support enough women, and that they don't have a big enough pool of women to actually have a cabinet that properly represents the gender split of the entire country.
Mm. Ellen Coyne, thank you so much. I think that is the perfect place to leave it. She is news reporter at Independent News, and we will talk to you next week, Ellen. Have a great one.
Louise McSherry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.